Hello, and welcome to another episode of May the Power Protect You, a podcast where we talk about everything that goes on with Power Rangers, including toy news, 30th anniversary news, and the world of comics. I'm one of your hosts, Joel, and with me, as always, is...
I am the Congressman of Command Centers. I don't know, I'm giving myself a title.
It's in now.
Yeah, just give us those titles.
We've got a couple things to talk about. Before we jump into those, we're gonna, like we do every week, we want to take a moment to encourage our listeners to find a way that you can be a hero out there in the world. You know, in the past we've highlighted things like the Black Lives Matter movement, which is ongoing and still requires support, to the ongoing crisis in the Ukraine, to the constant attacks on reproductive rights and human rights for trans people within the U.S. Just find a way that you can help, you know, join in protests safely if you can, you know, watch streams that generate revenues for nonprofits that help those organizations, or just, you know, even begin the steps of educating yourself so you can know more about these topics. Just find a way that you can help, find a way that you can be a hero in your own way. Let's just make this world a better place. But with that, we'll jump on to our first section, which is going to be some toy news that happened this past week. Not a ton, but two kind of new releases. One, a leak. The first was pictures of Hasbro's Mighty Morphin Power Rangers basic line toys were revealed or leaked by FR Toys and kind of spread across social media. And it showed pictures of green, white, pink, and blue MMPR figures to go along with the red, yellow, and black Ranger figure that were released earlier this year. And then also this week, Super 7 announced the Ultimates Wave 4 for Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, which is going to include the White Ranger figure, a figure of the White Tiger Zord in Warrior Mode, and Madam Woe. Of this news, Kevin, is anything sticking out to you? Is anything exciting?
I mean, it's nice to see the basic MMPR figures getting completed. We knew that would be happening, of course. Like, it's the 30th anniversary. They're not going to release a line of Mighty Morphin figures. I think they're going to look nice. I know the basic figures from Hasbro, they are very nice. Like, they're decent, you know, starter figures. I think they'll be great gifts if someone wants them. I'm obviously not going to be grabbing them. I didn't grab the initial figures, but they are, for what they are nice. As for Super 7, I mean, it'll be cool to see pictures of them in 2026, but, you know... Not drag me, her. I think it's cool, like, some of the accessories that came with, like, I thought it was really cool that Tommy comes with, like, the orbs from the Tiger Zord. I thought that was kind of neat. I think the Madam Woe figure was the one I was like, oh, this is really nice. Like, they are nicely designed from the CGI pictures that we have seen. So
yeah, I need to see actual figures of them before I went, because I'm like, what we've seen so far are rough, to say the least.
Well, it was really funny, too, because, like, I went to a store the other day. It was a video game collectible shop, and up at the front, at the cash register, they had the Super 7 Wave 1.
Oh.
And that was the first time I'd ever seen them in person. Like, I didn't, like, open them up to look at them, but, like, it was really funny, because I saw it, and I was like, wait, what Power Ranger product did they get? Is there something new that I didn't know was out? And then, like, I saw it said Super 7, and I was like, oh, right. Like, I gotta be honest. I forgot about them.
Yeah, I feel so, like, Super 7's one of those things, if you're into collecting it, you know all about it. But if you're like us and you're just like, oh, it's a thing, it kind of just passes you by. I'm surprised you saw them in person. I don't know that I've ever seen a Super 7 product in person.
I was surprised, because, like, this is a shop that, like, they have, like, toys up on the top shelves, but they're mostly a video game shop, and, like, I was like, oh, hello, because, like, I was thinking maybe it was, like, some kind of, like, 30th anniversary promotional product, and, I mean, I guess you could say technically it is, because it didn't come out until, you know, right before the 30th anniversary, but yeah, no, it was interesting seeing them in person. I think the next time I got them, I actually try to see if I can open the window to look at them, but, yeah.
The thing I thought was interesting is that the White Ranger comes with the Sword of Power, and it's not so much the Sword of Light, but when they use the power transfer. The only thing I thought was interesting about it is I never realized it had jewels for the Ranger colors on it. I Yeah. I just never paid attention, I guess, enough to that sword. Mm-hmm. I was just like, oh, yeah, that's a nice detail.
Yeah, because when Tommy does, like, when he holds it up and they transfer the power in the VFX, like, the yellow, black, and red, like, light up on the sword.
You know what? That is a good detail. I'm proud of whoever made that in the prop department. That was a smart decision. But yeah, as far as, like, the basic figures, they're fine. They're cute. If you have kids that don't have the Power Ranger figures, that's a nice option. Or if you're, like, looking to have something that's not the Lightning Collection, that's another option as well. But yeah, mm-hmm. I kind of figured both of us were going to be like, well, they exist.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I figured I'd mention them.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's cool because it gives a really good example of how there are different, like we've always talked about before on the podcast, like, you know, you don't have to buy every single Power Ranger product to be a fan. And I know that there are some people in the fandom in the past that have done that. And if that's what your prerogative is, great. If that's what you want to do, great. But I think it's cool to see these options, like, especially considering that even a little over about a decade ago, like, we didn't have that much. So it just, I think, oh God, sorry. I think that it just shows how Hasbro is willing to expand the reach of the brand and how it's getting things out there. Yep. Which we can talk about in a minute.
Yep, for sure. So with that, we'll move on to the probably biggest thing that happened this week.
That's an understatement.
On Tuesday night of this week, on March 21st, across all social media, came over in waves. The Once and Always 30th anniversary trailer was officially dropped. Mm-hmm. This has given us our first look, aside from production photos, at what this is going to be. Gave us more details on what the plot is going to be. Gave us a good look at our villains from across the anniversary special, along with our heroes as well. So, what did you think of it, Kevin, when I sent it to you on Tuesday night?
Well, you know, it was really funny because I had went out with some friends and I wasn't looking at my phone that much. And then what ended up happening was I saw something, I saw a picture on Twitter and then you messaged it to me and I immediately like opened it and watched it. And then I proceeded to watch it. I probably watched it at least 30 times since it's released on Tuesday, and this is recorded on the following Saturday. So, I have a lot of good feelings about it. Like, it's really hard to describe because, you know, this is us seeing a lot of elements on the screen for the first time in 27 years. I mean, like, it was really funny because, like, I think one of the things that sticks out to me the most is there's, my brain, like, mentally flashed back whenever there's a shot at the beginning of David Yost, in the suit, like, doing ADR, and, like, the ADR sounds like he is still in 1996.
Yeah.
Like, it was really weird how, like, he still had it. But yeah, what did you think, at least, your initial thoughts?
I teared up.
I cried.
I was giddy. I'm just excited. There was a lot of, oh, okay. But also just like hearing Barbara Goodson as Rita, it's just, it feels good. Like,
yeah. Which is so funny because like we had just gotten her in Battle for the Grid a few months ago. Like she's come back and done Rita since then. But seeing her in the context of the show is definitely a lot different.
Yeah. It's, you know, again, it's that thing of like, we never thought we would get something like this. And in the past, like, you know, 30 years, it's been like, oh, we might. Oh, but we can't. Oh, you know, yada, yada. It's just nice to see this happening. I'm really fascinated by kind of how they're constructing the story. Mm-hmm. Also, hey, we can say the word kill now.
I definitely think it's interesting because you can tell this was made... this was made for the older fans. Like, this is, like, definitively made. Like, in past anniversary seasons, we've gotten this, and it's, like, little nods and teases, but this is, like, explicitly... This is explicitly the first Mighty Morphin focused anniversary special. Like, we've always had, like, okay, as much as people complain about Mighty Morphin, and as much as they complain about how much it, you know, overshadows anniversary elements, like, this is actually the first fully dedicated Mighty Morphin anniversary special. Like, and I think it's crazy because we think about what we got a few years ago with Beast Morphers when we got, you know, Grid Connection, and like how that was kind of like it's just night and day.
Yeah. It's not having to serve multiple things. It gets to just be a Mighty Morphin Power Ranger one for the most part.
Yeah.
We do see teases of how the other teams are going to be brought in, kind of.
Yeah, yeah, and I have a theory, so...
Yeah, yeah, that's what we think is going to happen, but there's teases of how the other teams will come in, but we haven't had confirmation of any other actors showing up, but I mean, just with the Mighty Morphin team, it's just really exciting to have a lot of them back. Yeah. Just seeing, like, David Yost and Walter Jones together, and then when Steve Cardenas and Catherine Sutherland show up, it just, it's really good. I'm so good, and I like the updated effects because they've, you know, for like the teleporting, there's now like a lightning effect that goes through it that's really kind of cool, and they've added kind of like the particle effect things that happens in like newer seasons when they teleport. It's just it's really cool to see how they've upgraded certain elements of the show.
It's really fun to see this being Mighty Morphin Power Rangers in 2023.
Yeah, exactly, you know, using the tools that they have, and you know, the skilled team that they have. I'm excited. I do want to ask, what did you think of Robo Rita now that you've seen her in motion?
I felt conflicted about it, because I would, as much as I would have loved to seen her with, like, you know, Carla Perez in the dress and like doing all that, it's also, it, she still has a presence, and I think that was the thing I was worried about, was that, like, it'll be Robo Rita with, like, a metallic voice. And, like, I think if they hadn't gotten Barbara, if they had gotten, and no offense to her, if they had gotten Susan, who voiced Rita in recent clips when they've had to dub her over, or when she voiced Mystic Mother, like, I think it wouldn't have been as effective. But combining Barbara Goodson with the Robo Rita stuff, I think that makes it more powerful. I think seeing the Robo Rita actually fight, like her actually taking a swing at Billy, I was like, oh, she's not going to just stand in the background. And I think the way they're introducing her and the way that she kind of gets her start, it really does make it, like, it feels like Rita is there.
Yeah.
And I think in past seasons, it wouldn't have felt like that.
Yeah, again, I think Barbara Goodson being there is a lot of it. I do, also, it not being Carla Perez gives them the out on how this version of Rita exists.
Yeah.
Because, you, obviously, fans have already been like, well, but she's the Mystic Mother. It's like, guys, not real Rita. This is a robot version of her when she was evil. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Keep up, guys. Not that hard.
Yeah. Well, and I think, like, I really do think that that's how this is going to segue into Cosmic Fury. Like, I think Hasbro is doing a really smart thing, if they're doing what I think they're doing. I think Hasbro is doing something really smart here, because they're giving Mighty Morphin its own special. So then that way, in Cosmic Fury, they can focus on the other series elements in that.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's going to be a really... Like, this is, like, a really good teaser for Cosmic Fury in a way, but also serving as a very sweet and very emotional anniversary special.
Definitely. And just, like, I will say, like, it does feel a little weird not having Jason David Frank there as Tommy.
Yeah,
you know, it is unfortunate with his passing. It feels a little weird, but I am really excited to see, you know, David Yost, like I said already, Walter Jones, and Catherine Sutherland, Secret Yes, get more to do in one of these, because, you know, they're usually relegated to being background characters who get a line, if they do get a line in a special. So I'm really excited to get them have character arcs. I'm really excited about Min as a character. Because I do really think Charlie Herschel's doing a good job. Like, I'm really excited to see, like, what that character is going to end up, that journey. And then it was just nice seeing Karen Ashley and Johnny Young Bosch on a screen. I was just like, oh.
I think that's the insane element, is that we are seeing the return of actors and actresses that haven't been on the show since they were on Mighty Morphin. Seeing Karen, seeing, you know, Walter, seeing David, like, I think that was probably the powerful thing about this.
Yeah, and just, like, it feels right. It doesn't feel hokey, like, mm-hmm. in any way. It just, it's like, okay, this feels really cool. I also really loved the music in it. There was some, like, ribbing online about, oh, it's a slowed-down version of the Mighty Morphin theme. But I'm like, but no, it feels epic. It felt cool. Also, I love all the sets they've made for this.
Like the new command center, I think is gonna be a lot of fun to see, and like the details that are in that. I think the one that excited me the most was seeing the Moon Palace again.
Yes. That's my favorite. Like, I don't know why.
like the shot of Rita standing on the balcony. I was like, this is like very fun and very like, and I'm excited to see where it goes. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen completely. And I mean, you can kind of piece together some of the elements in the trailer if you look in the background really closely. But like, I think this is going to be a really good opportunity and a really good celebration of the franchise, especially with Mighty Morphin. And I think the thing is, like, and I do want to talk about like the impact that this video had. Like, this dropped, and there were people that I never even knew watched Power Rangers were posting it, and they were like, oh my god, oh my god. Like, the level of excitement for this really showed on social media. Like, there were so many posts I've seen. I'm sure you've seen the same thing.
Yeah.
I had people that were sending it to me, like, did you know about this? Did you know about this? And I was like,
Just like, of course.
I was like, of course I knew about this. I had someone text it to me, and they were like, I am pretty sure you know about this, but just in case. And I was like, no, I knew, but thank you. But no, like, I think for me, it really shows the importance of Mighty Morphin to the identity of Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Like, as much as the hardcore fans can bemoan, we're getting too much Mighty Morphin, we're getting too much, like, Mighty Morphin itself is the engine that is in the vehicle that is Power Rangers. It is an evergreen property. It is, you know, it's just the same as Bruce Wayne and Batman, you know, the Ninja Turtles, like any evergreen franchise. And I think seeing what Hasbro is doing is just a really good feeling inside. Like, I know I was talking to somebody and they were like, yeah, you know, but they didn't get Tommy. And I was like, yeah, but look what else they've gotten us. Like, at the end of the day, so.
Yeah, I know, I've seen a bunch of people be like, well, we're Tommy and Kim, and I'm like, well, one of them's actor passed away, guys, like, come on, let's put a little brain power to it. And then the other one,
she just declined, and that's okay. Like, you don't have to be vilified if you decline to come back, like.
Yeah, they should have paid her more money, like, come on, like, if they truly wanted her, they should have paid. But I'm not gonna complain with what we got. I think what we got is really exciting.
Yeah.
And like you said, just the fact that, like, people are seeing this out there and just, like, you know, some negative comments, we'll ignore those. But some people are genuinely excited to watch Power Rangers again, and that's really cool. Yeah. And I think the more eyes we get on this Mighty Morphin 30th anniversary, the more you can be like, hey, there's comic books. Hey, there's another show coming that's going to have Lord Zedd in it. Like, this is a great way to bait a hook and get people in and get people back to it. Like, I think this is going to do a lot for the brand. You know, as much as people are kind of hemming and hawing, especially in the fandom, it's going to do a lot.
Well, and I think there's, like, it's very interesting thinking about the 30th anniversary right now compared to the 25th anniversary, compared to the 20th. Like, there's a genuine excitement for this anniversary that I've not felt before. I don't know if that's the same for you, but
it's coming to this now, but I think it is the fact that it is its own thing. That it's not an episode of Cosmic Fury or Dino Fury.
Yeah.
It's not a anniversary snuck into a regular season. They are taking the time to say, no, this is its own thing. We're going to reference back to the original. We're going to pull as much of the original cast in as we can. And just, you know, there were even, like, for fans, there was even the little thing, like the Bandora Protocol screen that, you know, everyone has screenshotted and showed across different fandoms that references, like, the Astro Omega ship, Terra Venture, and various cities from across Power Rangers seasons. Like, there's going to be something in there. I think there is going to be something for both people who've not watched the show in 30 years to the people who are like diehard fans. And that is great. That's powerful. And I also want to point out, I don't have their full screen name, but on Twitter, their name is Nightmare. is who mm-hmm. they are. They're talking about, like, go watch people's reaction videos to this.
Yeah.
And see the excitement that some of these people have. And, like, realize that, wow, like, no, people who don't live and breathe this are talking about it and are getting hyped for it. Like, and that's really cool.
Yeah. I think it got to like a Twitter trend and like it was like a YouTube trending as well. Like it got a lot of traction. And yeah, I think it shows the spirit of what the show is. And
for sure.
It's very warming. It's very heartwarming.
One thing I just want to talk about from the trailer that like has me hyped is seeing the Rangers protect people. Yes. Like, there's that scene where they're fighting in the city, and we see them running through people and, like, getting through. Like, that's just cool. Just to see those suits doing that again. It's really cool. Yeah. It makes me so excited. It makes me happy in my heart. Like, I can't wait. It's good. Yeah. I am prepared to be destroyed emotionally. I'm so excited to watch this and get to talk about it and get to see what they've got for us.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. I think one of the things that excited me, aside from like hearing Barbara as Rita, I think I really love the fact that, like we talked about earlier, that this is Mighty Morphin made in the modern day with Power Rangers. Like, they're using their modern, everything's modern. But like, I think one of the things that was really powerful was the shot of the core six Mighty Morphin Power Rangers running towards the screen with an explosion behind them. Like, because that style of shot never always got to happen. Because that was more of a recent thing in Sentai and in Power Rangers. So I think just seeing that, like, and being recreated for this team was really cool.
For all the complaining about, oh, it looks like Cosmic Fury, it's like, it's the same production team, guys. I don't know what you expected.
Yeah, this isn't going to be, like, movie-grade quality. Like, this is... Yeah.
Yeah, I even still... I'm excited. I'm excited. I don't think I can say that enough in 100 different ways. You know, I'm excited, and I really cannot wait to see what this is going to be and what we're going to get from this. Mm-hmm. There has been a tease. I don't know how true this is, but one of the, I believe it's producers or production staff, teased the idea that there is something in a post-credit capacity for this special.
I believe
so. I'm excited to see what that could be. I'm sure it'll lead into Cosmic Fury in some way. And an interesting thing that we also got in the release for this is a Variety article stated that David Yost has a appearance in Dino Fury, is what they said. And I'm assuming they mean Cosmic Fury. So we might see more of these Rangers in another capacity soon. So that excites me as well.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Given the fact that Billy has built a command center, I have a feeling that they're going to try and position Billy as like a Nick Fury-esque character now. Where like he's the connecting tissue. I could see that.
That's cool. I, as someone who loves Billy, who that's one of his favorite Rangers, and people have talked about this, it's cool to see him in the spotlight. It's cool to see him taking center stage. It's cool to see him taking the leadership role.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if other actors would have returned as their characters, I don't know how possible that would have been.
Yeah, for sure.
And as sad as I am that the circumstances around those people are not good, I am excited to see David Yost get this kind of shot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no. I think that was one of the things that struck me, too, and this will be my final thought on, like, my favorite shot from the trailer, but the opening shot of, like, Rita and the Putties on the cliff, and then, like, Billy standing alone against them, like, doing, like, the Triceratops pose. Like, I thought that was a really fun shot.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing, like, probably that'll be the opening of the episode, is, like, Billy fighting Robo Rita, and then like each of the other Rangers teleporting in and like helping him.
It's gonna be really epic. I can't wait.
It's gonna be good.
So we've only got a little bit longer to wait, under a month now for when this premieres on April 19th on Netflix, and this will be a worldwide release. All people will be able to watch it at the same time. I will caution people, time zones exist, so if you don't want to get spoiled, maybe start muting things on the 18th.
or take the day off work.
Yep. Just know that going in, that people will likely spoil this as much as they can. And also, be prepared to mute accounts that are going to be, like, trying to figure out the whole special before it airs, because, like, there are people that do that, too. Take care of yourself if you want to go in unspoiled. Take the precautions to do so. We just want everyone to enjoy this, because I think it's going to be something really special.
Yeah, for sure.
But with that said, we'll move on to comics, because this week, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers issue number 106 dropped. And it was written by Melissa Flores, colored by Raul Angulo, illustrated by Simona Di Gianfelice, and lettered by Ed Dukeshire. And the description for this one is, the Power Rangers and Omega Rangers join forces in an epic struggle against a friend-turned-foe. Mistress Vile's diabolical scheme also comes to a head as she possesses an object of immeasurable power and a sidekick with darker origins than the Rangers thought possible. That is a description. I don't know that that's the description of this comic, but this comic had a lot of, like, really, this issue had a lot of really interesting moments. There's one specifically at the end that we can talk about in a bit, but what I found really interesting about this issue is it's a lot of Melissa playing with things that existed that Ryan had put in motion, that previous writers had put in motion, and her just really playing with the toys in the toy box. We see a lot of great character interactions from Jason and Tommy together, to just all the Rangers reacting to what Zordon commands them, to Grace and Tyrona, there's just a lot of great interactions in this issue, and I really enjoyed it, even if it didn't necessarily move the plot forward a ton. What did you think of this issue, Kevin?
I think this is definitely, I think Melissa's doing a good job about, like, making this issue be a breather issue and letting the characters, like, sit and feel what they're feeling. I think one of the things that, for the through line of this issue, was that we see Zordon, especially with Tommy and Kimberly, like, Zordon expressing his feelings of, like, here's what needs to be done, and, like, Zordon flat out, and that conversation with Grace of, like, him saying, I'm scared.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that Zordon, you know, the all-knowing sage, is, like, being openly admitting, like, I'm scared, I need the Rangers here to protect Earth. Like, yeah. And the conflict that's creating with Tommy and Kim and him is a very interesting dynamic. And I think for Kim especially, it feeds into, like, kind of what she's been feeling in the lead up to this issue, you know, of her feeling like, yeah, hey, I can't do this forever. And I think with Tommy, it's going to be interesting too, because I think this event's going to kind of set Tommy up as, like, he becomes, you know, the Eternal Ranger. Like, I really liked it. And I think there was a lot of really good character beats in this issue.
So. Yes, for sure. And we also got the big MacGuffin that is kind of going to be propelling this current arc. In the kind of the, I don't remember, I'm blanking on what they call it. It's like the grid navigator, essentially. And it ties to the forge, like the little, like, arches that we've seen previously. It's just a fun little expansion of that. And, it, you know, apparently Rita was trying to go after that. That's what she sent Alpha 1 for on Safe Haven. And, of course, on Earth. Who has to know about this but Grace does, and she's of course not telling everyone everything she knows.
Of course, Grace is definitely, she is always going to be the character that keeps her cards close to her chest, which is always a fun time. And I think one thing I really love about her and the way Melissa writes her is I love the conversation that her and Zed had.
Yes.
And, like, I feel like only Grace could have that conversation with Zed, where she's just flat out, like, this is what it is.
So. Yeah. She gives me very Amanda Waller vibes, but for Power Rangers,
she does.
She's not quite as ruthless as Amanda Waller, but that is kind of, like, who she feels modeled after in an interesting kind of way, because she's got her own agenda at all times that is being serviced, and I do really love that. Also really like the moment, just like we get to see also that the moment with Tyrona, what that does is it's a real moment in between her posturing with the Rangers and with Zed. We get to see her as a person for a second. And I really like that Melissa added that moment. In a similar vein, I really like the moment that she gave between Jason and Tommy.
Which I think she timeline-wise, would she have written this after JDF passed?
Yes, she is. She and Melissa has confirmed that on Twitter, that that was kind of her intention.
Yeah.
It was meant to be a kind of goodbye.
JDF, yeah.
Yeah. And kind of her, I guess, way processing her emotions, kind of, it was that via that scene. And I really like it because it works on that level. But there's also a really great aspect of, I love that Jason hasn't left the book. That even though, the events of the Death Ranger arc occurred, and he has no longer got a connection to the grid, that he's still part of it, that he is still important to the story. And that it just, like, in a way that the show could never do, because once an actor leaves, they're gone. I like the idea that, like, they can still reach out to him, that he's still an ear that they can go to and bounce off of. And I really enjoy that as an idea.
I agree. I think it's just, it's really well done, and I think it really highlights the fact that, like you said, when they go off the show, it's like they're gone. Like, it feels like they're gone. But, like, I think, I have a feeling that Jason is going to have some pretty good moments throughout this arc, and I think it's going to be interesting to see as we move forward. We don't have to, but, like, if we move into season 3 territory, if we see other things happening, like, what's going to happen, so...
Not to, like, jump ahead and end this, but there has been solicitations for, I believe it's issue 109 in June, that have silhouettes blacked out.
Yep.
One of them, from what we can tell, is clearly Rita or Mistress Vile via the staff, because of the shape of it. But the other figure, we don't have a clear indication of who they are.
I think I know who it is.
It could be the person at the end of this issue, but... Yeah. I could also easily see them pulling someone else in.
Yeah, I think we both know who we think it is.
It's already been spoiled online by a lot of people. If you've not been around, skip ahead 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah.
At the end of this issue, we get the gestation of a long-seeded plot point. This goes all the way back to when Ryan was writing the book. We find out what Finster put in the command center because Zed retrieved it and got to use it this issue. And it's a morpher. And Zed morphs on screen and gets his own ranger suit at the end of this issue.
Yeah, I did not see that coming. The second he pulled it out and I saw that familiar Z, I was like, oh. And I just have to give Melissa so much credit right now. Like, she, like, Zed is such a threat, even when he's depowered in this issue, like, behind the bars.
Yeah.
And a lot of the dialogue, I heard it as Robert. Like, I heard Robert's voice reading Zed in this issue, and I think she did such a good job of writing him.
I think the thing with, like, Zed that a lot of people get wrong is they make him too aggressive. And he's not. Most of the time, he's kind
of... Like, that's Zed's MO even since Mighty Morphin on the series, his whole MO, like, has not been aggression, it's been manipulation and mind games and tactics. Like, that's the thing that I think, like, with Rita was always aggressive. Like, she was always, like, sending monsters down. But with Zed, it was always, he sends a monster down, but it's a personal item. Like, we had that really good moment in... the early days when Ryan was writing Zed, and, like, he talked about, like, how he perverses things that people love.
Yeah. And because that's a fun... Also, with Zed's backstory, that's a fun thing of, like, because how he sees himself, he is kind of a perversion of sorts. And I like... Yes, Lord Zed gets angry and turns red and, like, has temper tantrums, but, like, his approach to taking on characters is always he's going to find a way to twist them, to hurt them,
to make them his own.
Yeah. I love the idea that he's done that with the Morpher now. They put him in a cell with some, like, energy bars that are supposed to zap him when he comes out. And he's like, I got my skin flayed off. Like, I know pain. This is nothing for me. I kind of love that version of Zed of, like, this is a minor inconvenience compared to what I have been through.
And it feels like Zed planned to be taken in by Grace the entire time.
Yeah. Yeah. He knew he could get out if he wasn't under Zordon's thumb. And also, I just like the idea of, like, he has his own goals. that he has not turned good. He is not on the side of the angels. He's like, no, I hate Mistress Vile, but I'm not going to let her win or let you guys win, frankly.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to be on my side, and I'm always going to make sure I come out on top. Yeah. So I really love that aspect of the character.
Yeah. Also, I love the panel before Zed morphs when, like, the way Simona drew Zed, like, he's like, he stands at, like, a lean, like, a very cocky, like, confident lean. Like, you can tell he's having fun right now.
Yeah.
Like, and he's just kind of letting loose.
Yeah. I can't wait to see kind of what this does, because we're currently playing with a lot of, like, getting access to the Morphin Grid, and what does it mean to go inside the Morphin Grid. So I'm really excited to find out, now that Zed has tapped into the grid, mm-hmm. what that means.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's going to be... I think the next issue is going to be absolutely insane, because now we have multiple players at once.
Yeah, my one issue, I think, if I had to take anything, is, like, I do feel like we've kind of lost the plot on, like, where Matt is right now, and, like, the one Void character that has shown up that we've still not gotten a clear indication on who or what they are. And I'm excited to get back to those, but I will say I do love just, like, the character stuff that Melissa's doing. You know, she loves these characters. You know, she has plans and ideas for these, and she's, you know, gonna follow through on them, and I'm really excited to see just what she can do in the next coming issues.
Yeah, but for sure.
With that said, we haven't had a lot of news, but there has been discovered via Kickstarter that there will be a 30th anniversary comic collection Kickstarter coming soon from Boom Studios.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what this is, we don't totally know yet, but I'm sure it will be something big, you know, that everyone can kind of crowdsource if they're interested in getting. The fact that they're calling it a 30th anniversary collection, I'm kind of hoping maybe they got the Zio comics in full. Because they released those archives a long time ago, but they didn't have full, like, mm-hmm. collections of things. They only had, like, random issues.
Yeah.
So I'd be really excited to see if they've now gotten full access to some of the Power Rangers comic backlog and are able to put them in, like, something really nice. That would be really cool. I'd be tempted, I would not lie. But I will see what that is, because we've got that coming down the line. And then, of course, you know, coming soon, we've got the next issue of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, which will be the penultimate issue. We've got Not Much Longer with Our Turtle Friends, which makes me a little mm-hmm. sad. And then after that, we'll get, you know, we'll have Free Comic Book Day coming up, which will give us the first look at what this Ranger Academy book is that we'll be getting at some point soon. We've got the Power Rangers Unlimited, the coin list coming. We've got just a lot of good stuff coming from the comics. So get excited, get pumped. If you're interested in getting these, go to your local comic book store, get it on a pull list, get it pre-ordered from them, because, guys, pre-orders are really important to comic shops and comic book companies. Just get out there, get these guys from them, support your local comic book shop.
Yeah.
But with that said, that'll kind of wrap up our show for today. If you're interested in hitting us up, you can hit us up on Twitter at MadeThePowerPod. Or if you want to send us an email, you can email us at MadeThePowerPod@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Feel free to send us comments, suggestions, topic ideas, or if you're interested in coming on as a guest host, let us know. We're always happy to have people come on and chat with us and get to discuss what they love about this franchise.
Yes.
But if you want to find me, you can find me on most social media at Thespis Punk. And where can they find you, Kevin?
You can find me on Twitter at BridgeMT3.
And, you know, before we go, just want to say thank you, guys. Thank you for listening. We've got a couple of you guys that are continually doing so. We really appreciate it. As always, may the power protect you.